from heaven like this. It started many years ago as a small church that is growing and growing and growing. And we thank God for every one of you that grab hold of this vision and grab hold of this work of God. And we thank God for every one of you. We don't always have the time to sit down and thank you personally, but we thank God. And we want you to know that you are part of a move of God. And you can be very proud of what you are part of and be very excited. But it's very important to understand how important vision is and what the real vision is that God wants to have for your life. Let me ask you, anybody here that wants vision for your life? We would all say we want vision for our lives. And it is great. You need to have a vision for your life. But above all what we want, you and I need to understand that we are here to fulfill what is God's vision for His kingdom and for His work, and He will use us. So it is absolutely crazy as a Christian to get a vision for your life, but it's not in line with heaven's vision. What is the vision of heaven for God's people? And God wants your life to align with His vision. So vision is important. It's extremely important into your life. But what is more important is for you to put God's vision as number one in your life. So what is true vision? The Bible gives us the definition of true vision. It also gives us the definition of true blindness. You have to understand there's vision, but then there's true vision. There is heaven's vision. You might have a vision for your life, but it might not be in line with God's vision. And as children of God, we need to get our vision aligned with what is true vision. What is the vision from heaven? In John chapter 9, if you have your Bibles here, follow with me. We read from verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is him who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. I just want to park here for 1 second or 2 seconds. The story is about a man that Jesus healed. The man then went to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people. And Jesus encountered him after he met the religious folk. And he asked him, "Do you know who I am?" And he says, "No, Lord, I don't know who you are." And Jesus is now revealing to the man who has healed him. All right, are you with me? It says, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." Friends, what is true vision? True vision, I believe, is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. True vision is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need true vision for your life. And therefore, true vision, that is godly vision, will come the day that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But then you need to understand that has to become the foundation for all and every vision that you set out for your life. That Jesus is the Son of God. What is true blindness? True blindness is to believe that you are right, that you are no need of Jesus Christ, and that you don't believe in Jesus Christ. That is true blindness. A person that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Why are we here on earth as God's people? Why are we here on earth as God's people? We are here to bring the true vision to this city and to this nation. Why has God brought you to this nation? Why have you been born into this nation? Why has God touched your life in this nation? The purpose is to bring true vision to this city and to this nation. To bring true vision to this city and to this nation. That is to make Jesus real to this city and to this nation. To give people the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. So why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? In Proverbs chapter 29:18, in the Amplified Bible, it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Where there is no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. That is so powerful. So we as a church need to realize that if we don't want people to perish, then we have to bring across the redemptive revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That falls in line with what is true vision. True vision is to make aware to people who Jesus Christ is. And a person that believes that Jesus is the Son of God has received true vision from heaven. They have received redemptive revelation from God that Jesus is the Son. Therefore, they will not perish. But those who do not receive redemptive revelation from God, they will perish. They will perish in this life, and they will perish in the life hereafter. So we as the church do what we do. Everything that we do in this church is to make the redemptive purpose of God reveal that to our city and to our nation. It is our purpose to help people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. We don't do it forcefully. We do it willingly. We do it by love and His grace and His mercy and preaching forth His word. But that is what we do as a church. And if you are a member of this church, you need to understand that the vision of this church is to win the lost at any cost. We are here to build one church in many locations and to be a beacon of light for this city and for this nation. And if you are a born-again believer, true vision in your life is bringing the redemptive revelation of God to people. That's the number one vision that you should follow in your life. If you had that vision for your life and you have a church that has that vision, you are set for great things by your God and your Father in heaven. He has loved you greatly to give you that vision and to give you a church that has that vision. Unfortunately, I find too many Christians today that have all kinds of other visions for their lives instead of God's redemptive vision for their lives. And eventually, they will perish. They follow their own ways. One translation says, they run like wild horses. They run in all kinds of directions. They are like headless chickens. One day they are in church, the next day they are out. One day they love God, the next day they don't love God. One day they give, then they don't give. Why? Because they lost vision. They lost the true vision that is from God. And you can be a born-again Christian and still be caught up in true blindness. Where there is no redemptive revelation from God, the people perish. And Jesus commanded us to bring sight to the blind. Jesus said, you are anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set free the captives, and to bring sight to the blind. We are here to bring sight to the spiritual eyes of people. Jesus has commanded us, not the pastors. He has commanded every one of you that claim to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit to be a person that follow the true vision from heaven, and that is to bring across the redemptive purpose and revelation of Jesus Christ to your city, to your neighborhood, and to this nation. We are called as God's workmanship, the Bible says, created in Him for good works. We are called His workmanship. How is God going to reach your family, your neighbors, your community, the city? He's going to reach it through His people. God always works through His people. He always. That's why the Bible says to the Israelites, you limit the Holy One of Israel. And I know today that there are so many Christians, so many people that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, but they limit the Holy One of Israel. They don't allow God to use them like they want, like He wants them to use them. You know, they don't allow God to work through them because their lives are occupied with wrong kinds of vision. My friend, when you are a born-again believer, you are not called to build a great business. You are not called to build a great house. You are not called to build any of these things. You are first and foremost called to be the workmanship of Christ Jesus and to preach the true vision from heaven to people to make them aware that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you work from that foundation, then God wants you to build a great business. God wants you to build a great house. God wants you to build a great family. God wants you to build all these other things. But if that true vision is not number one vision in your life anymore, you are walking into blindness. You have become blind. Jesus said, no one is as blind as those who do not want to see. And no one is as deaf as those who do not want to hear. And too many of God's people today, they don't want to hear. I have found it's a disease in the church. People don't listen. You want to change your life, but you don't listen. You have to open up these things. They are not ornaments. They are not there to make you look better. They are there for you to hear better. And unfortunately, too many of God's people don't listen. And if you can't listen to God and God's ministers, how can God use you? I know that I'm not going to get a lot of amens here this morning, but you should be very excited. You should be very excited. You should be thankful that God has brought you to this church that has a heavenly vision. The vision of this movement is to bring the redemptive revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're not here to play church. We're not here to tell you what you want to hear. We're not here to get you goofy and create the holy huddle where it's all about you and your blessed life, and God's going to open this door, and God's going to bless you with that, and God's going to increase you with that. That is all part of people that preach the true gospel, that will follow the true preaching of the gospel. But that is not the main purpose. The main purpose of God changing your life is for one reason, so that he can work through you to preach the gospel, which is the redemptive revelation from heaven that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are commissioned as his ambassadors here on earth to fulfill heaven's call. It's great to have the jacket of being an ambassador. But you need to understand what an ambassador is. Ambassador is not in a nation to build his own house or his own empire. Ambassador is for the sole purpose of the kingdom that he's from. Everything he does is in line with the requirements of the place that he's from. Even though he lives in the nation and he's part of a kingdom, he is not from that kingdom, and he fights and do only what the place that he came from wants him to do. He is that place's representative for that place's work in that nation. And God has commissioned every one of you to be an ambassador to heaven's call. So for who do we do the things we do? For who do we give if we give towards the church? Do you think you give it towards my Range Rover? You're absolutely nuts. You have to make up your mind. Why and for who do you do what you do? Everything this church does is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything we do is to bring the redemptive revelation of the Son of God to nations. That's what we do. That's where money goes for. That is what we do. That's why training up new pastors to plant churches. That's what we do. If we were talking about planting churches and raising up leaders and we have not done that, then you can say that we are taking the money for the church. But the church is not taking the money for the church. The church has a vision that God has given us. It doesn't cost, you cannot plant the church with monopoly money. Cannot plant the church with flat washers. So where do you think does these things come from? Planting a church in the UK, £100,000 minimum a year. Where does it come from? So you need to make up your mind, church. Where does it come from? So why do you get caught up with all these lies? Why are you limiting God? If we came and didn't do what we set out to do, then you have all the reason to leave and all the reason to point the finger. But every year we set out things to do. Every year I said to you when I took over this church, in a few years from now, there will be thousands. I said to you, we will plant churches, what we are busy doing. I said we will raise up leaders and release them to plant churches. That's what we do. I said to you that we'll have multiple campuses in the city. That's what we do. We walk in accordance to the Word of God. We walk in accountability to many various well-known and respected ministers of the gospel. Why and for who do we do what we do? In Colossians chapter 3:17, it says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." The Bible says the following: it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. He says, you fear man, but you need to wake up. The one that you should fear is the one that can destroy your body, soul, and spirit in a blink. Yes, that's right. Now, I take that very, very serious. I fear no man, but I take that scripture very serious. I know who I'm working for. I know who I serve. I serve a great God, a merciful God, a gracious God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But I know that you don't play with him. You don't play with him. You don't take his stuff. You don't not do what he asks you to do. That's one thing that I know. I pray that you will get that prophetic revelation in your life as well. Because one day I will stand before Jesus and I will have to give account upon every penny and upon every person that came through these doors and became part of this church. I take that very, very serious. I'm not fearful of my God, but I take it serious because he made me a representative of his kingdom. Not yet to preach my gospel. This is not Tabu Mare's ministries. So you need to get yourself in line again. Get in line with God's vision. Get in line with heaven's vision. And become a true representative of your God. If your God is a giver, then you give. If your God is generous, then you are generous. If your God is merciful, then you are merciful. If your God is gracious, then you are gracious. If your God is love, then you... Let's get real. Thank you, my wife. We do everything for our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, that, by the way, gave everything for you and gave everything to you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord, rather for people. Do everything. I said to the leaders last night, do everything. Everything is everything. You go to the loo, do it unto the Lord. You go to the coffee shop, do it unto the Lord. You go to have a relationship with somebody, you do it unto the Lord. You watch your TV, you do it unto the Lord. Do everything unto the Lord and not unto people. That's why I said, stop serving to please pastors. Stop serving to please anything else except your Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says do everything willingly. Do you know why he put in willingly there? The Holy Spirit said to me, because Jesus willingly gave everything up to come to earth to die for your sins so that one day you might have the opportunity to give your life to him and obtain forgiveness of sins and eternal life. He did it willingly. So everything that you do, if it's not from the foundation of willingly, it doesn't mean nothing. It means absolutely nothing. If you don't have a heart that does things willingly, then you have to leave it. When it comes to finances, what Jesus said, finances is this thing that will destroy you. He said, money, the love of that thing is going to destroy you. It's the root of all kinds of evil. That's the only God that he compared himself with is the God of money, Mammon. He said, be very careful. If you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, you will not be faithful in anything in the kingdom of God. That's why there are so many faithless Christians. Because they are thieves in the house of God. Thieves don't fear God. Steal from God. God tells them to do things. You are limiting my work. You are limiting my plans. You call yourself mine, but you have the characters of Satan. I didn't come to hear this. This is exactly what you need to hear. Some of you are so deceived that you sit in the house of God every Sunday after Sunday and you say, call yourself a son of God or a woman of God, but you have the characters of Satan. Right. Sleep around. Fornicate. But bless me, God. But you're a fornicator. You're a thief. Blind. Leading the blind. People with no vision. They lost it. No soul winning. Not building God's house. Limiting the Holy One of Israel. So you will rather pop to the next shop that's going to drop you a better message next Sunday that is going to keep you in your deceit. It's going to keep you in your lukewarmness. It's going to keep you in a wrong vision that God has never given to you, but your fleshly carnal desires has given you that vision, and you put on the Jesus sticker like you slap the Jesus sticker on your car, but your life is far from the character of that name. Whatever you do as a child of God has to be willingly unto the Lord. When you give willingly, when you serve willingly, when you reach out willingly, when you preach willingly. Are you with me? Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I know that some of you are tired this morning. It's a cold morning. We've been fasting the whole week. Cheer up. Slap a smile on your face. Do everything you do unto the Lord, because it gives him glory when his children comes together to worship his name. Don't sit here and suck lemons. Don't sit here and fall asleep. I'm going to get myself a few tennis balls, especially for those suckers that sit here in the front and fall asleep while I preach. Are you nuts? I'm going to throw you. If I can't slap you, I'm going to throw you. But you don't come to God's house and you fall asleep. What type of Christian are you? You've lost vision. You don't know what it's all about. You look like a blind person sitting in church. Your spirit is dead. There's no life in it. This is what we do. Whatever we do is God's vision here. We are not perfect, but we give it our best shot. Amen. But this vision and this church is for one thing, to win the lost at any cost. Amen. To preach the redemptive message of Jesus Christ to this city and this nation. Amen. And if your focus or your vision for your life is not in line with that Christian, then you need to get a wake-up call today, because you're sitting on a holy huddle. You're sitting on a bubble that is going to burst. And when it's burst, you will have no foundation. God always speaks to his people through a vision or through visions. A strong godly vision. Tell your neighbor it's getting better. A strong godly vision for your life from God is a great gift from him. As you received salvation, which is a gift, and the Holy Spirit as a gift, the third greatest gift that you receive is a godly vision. You should thank God every day that you have the privilege to sit on one of these seats every Sunday, to be serving in a church like this. You should thank God. Stop complaining. Stop moaning. Stop, let your carnal mind look for other places and start thanking your God for what He has given you, because He has given you a church and ministers and people that has one focus, and that is to preach the gospel of Jesus to the nations. It is one of the greatest gifts you can have. It will bring life to your dead body. Being part of a great heavenly vision is an amazing privilege. How faithful and obedient are you to this heavenly vision? How faithful and obedient are you to this heavenly vision? I like what the Apostle Paul said when they brought him through in front of King Agrippa. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Church, child of God, can you say from the top to the back in Wimbledon, in Edinburgh, wherever you are with us, that you are not disobedient to the heavenly vision? Can you truly say that you are obedient to the heavenly vision? The heavenly vision is to preach to people that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came to die for their sins so that they can have eternal life because He loves them. The Bible says, for so much God loved the world that He gave His only Son to die for us on the cross, so that whoever believes might one day have eternal life. Can you truly say, as an individual, that you are obedient to heaven's call? I like what Paul said. I was not disobedient to heaven's call. In Jeremiah chapter 9, 23, he says, at the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Here is Daniel. He's in the lion's den. He's in a tough spot. He's in a sticky situation. He's got lions, hungry lions, that is staring at him. And what does he do? He started to fast. Started to fast. The angel come 23 or 21 days later. Said to him, the moment, for when you started to fast and pray, God gave the command for us to come and to bring you this message. But it took us 23 days or 21 days to get through the heaven. We fought our way through the heavenly beings that stopped us. You want your stuff to come alive, but you can't even fast for 7 days. You can't even pray, and you don't understand why the stuff is not coming through in your life. 21 days Daniel prayed and fasted. It only came 21 days later. And he said, I came to give you this vision so that you can understand. A godly vision is important to your life. And the more important is, you need to understand the vision. You can be part of a church, but you don't understand the vision of the church. God wants you to have an understanding of heaven's vision. God wants you to have an understanding of this vision, of this church or this movement called CRC, so that you are not found with not understanding what we are doing. Because if you don't understand what we do, you will fall for all kinds of gossip and all kinds of traps the devil set you to get you to become unbelieving and blind again. When you are a member of this church and you are not a giver, you are a blind member. Just tell somebody that's ouch. Just tell somebody else that's tight. But it is right. There's no wonder you don't lead anybody to church. It's no wonder you've never baptized somebody. It's no wonder that you don't preach, because you're a blind fool leading the blind. And every night you pray, God bless me. Oh God, help me through this. But all the seed God brings to your life, you eat. I don't even want to show you the picture that I just saw in the spirit right now. Have you ever seen hungry pigs? Have you ever seen hungry pigs that hasn't been fed for weeks? And you take food and you throw food in a bucket to them. Have you seen that picture? That's how many of God's children are. It's all about them. God brings the seed for the future. They swallow it up and eat it in a minute because it's all about them. No thinking of the future. No planning of the future. Nothing. God brings it. Your Father wants you to understand the vision. The vision from heaven is to preach the gospel to the city and to this nation. And we are unashamed going to do that. I want to share with you the vision for 2060. You can become excited right now. There's 12 points. Number one, we will plant a new church in the UK. And that's going to happen the 1st of February in Edinburgh. You can give God a big hand. The vision is to plant a new campus in Northwest London. In Northwest London, before June of this year, we will plant a new campus in Northwest London. We will have another satellite campus like the one we have in Wimbledon, and you can give God praise for that. Number three, we're going to have 800 home cell by the 1st of September 2016. Have you heard what I said, church? Number four, the vision is to have 4,450 members in home cells by September 2016. The vision is to have one visitor per Sunday, every Sunday, for every home cell in 2016. The vision is to equip, number six, every cell leader, 2IC and potential leader for effective Christian service. The vision is to equip you in 2016. You see, God is not using smart people. God is not using the most educated. He said, I will use the fools. I will use those who everyone will despise. I want to tell you, you want to be used by God, then you need to be available. God doesn't use smart people. God doesn't use ugly people. God doesn't use beautiful people. God doesn't use people that has ability. God uses those who are available. And if you put your hand up to be available, then in 2016, the vision of this church is to equip you for effective Christian service. So we're going to ask from you to do more leadership training so that you can be effective in training up leaders in the kingdom of God to raise up God's army to bring His love and grace and message to the city and this nation. Number seven, the provision is to make sure every member have and understand, slap your neighbor, say have, slap another neighbor, say understand, the DNA, the vision, and the goals of our church. We want you to have the DNA, the vision, and the goals of this church. And we want you to understand the DNA, the vision, and the goals of this church. Number eight, we want the vision is to be Jesus' workmanship in this city and this nation like never before. Number nine, to be the salt and the light in the city and this nation as Jesus commanded us to be. Number 10, the vision is to be a church where every member is a giver according to what they have. Look at your neighbor next to you. Tell them, you better be a giver. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Jesus. But you are stingy. You're a thief. You're not just stealing from people. You are stealing from the Most High God. Don't have any fear for God. I have studied the Bible and I found every king that stole the stuff from God's house, swift judgment, death in their lives. Church, you have to be warned. You steal God's stuff today? The Bible says, learn from the people of old. You might jump around, sing a fast song and a slow song, But one day you will stand before the Almighty God and you will give account. And I remind you today, with all the love in my life, that the people of old, not one of those kings lived. By the way, the Bible says, not Tabu, that no thief will enter the kingdom of heaven. My suggestion is you stop stealing from God and you start giving to Him and become like His Son and be like His Son as He made you to be. The vision is to be a church where every member is challenged to live in faith as we all should do. That's the vision. I'm going to challenge every one of you to live in faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now let me ask you, child of God. You say you are justified. You say that Jesus loves you, that you are born again. Is your life characterized by faith? Can we look at you and see that is a man or a woman of faith? Awful quiet. I don't want to say any church because then people go on the internet again. But awful quiet. Is your life characterized by faith? Not by coming to church, by faith. Can people around you look at your life and say, I don't know how they acquire that. That must be faith. No wonder Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, faithless generation. I wonder what is he saying about the church of today. It's your life. I'm not angry. I might beat some bullet points and some nerves here today. I'm asking you, can your life be characterized by faith? Because if it ain't characterized by faith, then you should be like Jesus' disciples and say, Lord, increase my faith. Amen. If you really want to live a Jesus life, then it's a faith life. You have to be in the faith lane. How do you know that you are in the faith lane? Come ask me. Come ask me. Come ask me. If you're serious about God, then I will take days out and see all 3,500 of you, and I will sit and you can ask me, Pastor, my life. And do not think I know who you are. I know who you are. I'm doing what I'm doing because I love people. I'm doing what I'm doing because God compels me to do what I need to do. So I am looking out for you. I know where many of you are. I follow you on your Facebook, on your profiles. I see exactly what you are doing. I'm monitoring you. So you can just come. We go for Starbucks and you say, Pastor, am I in the faith lane? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus looked at his disciples. He gave them a command. They sat like you guys sat today with eyes like this. Looked like they saw a ghost. He said to them, oh, you faithless generation. How long should I be with you? So come. If you're serious about God and serious to be in the faith lane, come. Bring your life. Let us talk about your life. Let me tell you if you are in the faith lane or not. Because it's by faith that you will conquer. It's by faith that you will live. It's by faith that you will overcome. It's by faith that you will have. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. No crying, no moaning, no shouting, no crying, no moaning, no shouting, no complaining. By faith. And if you sit in church and you have no faith, you ain't gonna go nowhere. It's a miserable thing to be in church without faith. It's a wonderful thing to be in church with faith. Amen. Are you still? Number 12. The vision is in 2016 to focus every member more on Jesus, His Spirit, and His will for His church. That is the vision for 2016.
to challenge you to focus your whole life again on what it is all about. It is all about Jesus. To challenge you to be more in His Spirit. To challenge you to be more in His presence. To challenge you to do His will more. To walk with Him. To build your relationship with Him like never before. Church, let me tell you, I have said it yesterday to the leaders. There's coming a time of shaking in this world. God is going to shake this world. There's going to be a financial crash in the next 3 years. That is going to shake the unshakable. You have to get yourself ready. I am not a doom prophet. I tell you today that those who are serious about God, the Bible says that God will lift them up and make them shine like never before. But those who are not grounded and rooted in faith and in principle in God will be shaken to the core, and it will start at the house of God. In 2008, when we went through a recession, I can tell you many, many people in our church that were faithful givers, faithful in faith towards God, where everybody got demoted, they got promoted. When everybody left, they were given a new position. They didn't go from bad to worse. They went from glory to glory. That was a truth. When I saw that, I knew that what is ahead, there's hope. This church in 2009, 10, and 11 has grown every year financially with more than 25% in a recession. When I sat with financial people, they said, this is impossible. There's not even a company that grows like this. I said, we don't serve a company and we don't sell a product. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we are grounded in our faith in Him. We are grounded in the principles of God. We are committed unashamedly to speak forth the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that there is no other name under heaven that man can be saved by than the name of Jesus. Unashamedly, we will do this in 2016, 17, 18, 19, until the day He comes. But let me warn you, your Jesus is going to shake you out of your lukewarmness. He's done playing. He's done waiting. Get yourself in line. If you were not a giver, repent of it. Change your mind, your purpose, and your action. Allow God to flood your life with finances. Some of you stay stupid when it comes to the things of God and you don't understand why. You have no revelation, no understanding. You don't study the Word. There's not a love for the Word in your life. You don't pray. You just hear. You know why? Because you are unfaithful in unrighteous manner and God can't trust you with the true riches of heaven. The true riches is understanding who Jesus is. The true riches is to see what Jesus sees. The true riches is to see God's plan for the church first and then for your life here on earth. It all gets revealed through the Spirit. And some of you can't see that because you are unfaithful in unrighteous mammon. But the moment you start to see, you see your future is what you see. Jesus said that the eye is the lamp to the body. If your eye is bad, your whole life will be bad. You see, some of you just see bad stuff because your eyes is bad. King David said the following, I turn my eyes away from worthless stuff. But most of you are so clued in on the news, worldly situations and things that you don't have, that you don't get your nose in the book that can bring you the revelation and understanding. And above that, you are unfaithful with the thing that Jesus wants to find you be faithful in first. Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm unfaithful. You're unfaithful in supporting God's work, then you're unfaithful to Him. Study the book, man. Study it. Study the Old Testament. All of God's people that moved away from Him was those who didn't build His church and didn't provide for His work. Right through the Old Testament. ring, take me for coffee, and I will show you king after king after king, generation after generation. Then God brings forth prophets that brings forth the true vision from heaven and the true calling from heaven and the true principles from heaven. Then the people started to get themselves ready again. They start to build God's house. They start to provide over and above. Then blessing comes to them. God prospers them. And then when they get so blessed and fat of everything that God gives them, then they become passive again. Then they go stop giving again. Then they stop building again. And then they fall into slavery again. I have no prophet speaking to them. No one that brings direction to them. Then God need to arrange a famine again that will bring them to their knees. Then God will bring a prophet again. Then the prophet will speak. Then the priest and the kings work together. Then the people start to build and provide. Then the blessing comes. Then peace comes. Then they become fat again. Repeat. 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 Even till today, it's been repeated. What are you going to do about it? And you're going to say to yourself, I am not going to be part of that repeating clan. I am going to be different. Like Joshua and Caleb, I have a different spirit. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to follow my God. I'm going to build his house. I'm going to provide with him. My life is for him. I've become a slave unto him. I was a slave of sin. Now I'm a son of a slave of righteousness. Now I will serve him with all my life. With everything I have, I will honor him. I will build his house. And I promise you, if you're that kind of person, listen to me. If you're that kind of person, young person, listen to me. It doesn't matter what you don't have. It is matter what you make yourself available to. If you make yourself available for God to build his house and for God to provide through your life, let me tell you one thing. God is going to lift you up and God is going to use you like he will not use thousands of others that are unprepared to build his house and to provide for his work. And you will not limit the Holy One of Israel. He will raise you up to change nations. He will raise you up to change generations. Because you are available to work in line with what he wants to do and how he wants to do things. Why do you think I preach like I preach? Because I am also sick and tired. For you to have nothing. For you to struggle. For you to have in the same petty sins. Why do I preach that I preach? Because if you don't have vision, you will not have life. The more you have God's vision part of your life, the more life you will have. The moment the devil steals your vision, and especially your godly vision, is the day that you slowly start to become dead and your life for God's stuff starts to be sucked out of your life. You wonder why you're so tired, why you are not excited about church, because you've lost the true vision. The true vision is to make the redemptive revelation of the kingdom of God available to people, and that is to tell them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when a man believes, then they start to see, and when they see, they have vision. And when they have vision, life comes. Keep the vision from heaven as the center point of your life. And don't let the deceiver deceive you by all kinds of other stuff where people tell you that you need to build your life. You don't have to build your life. Build his church and provide for his work, and he will build your life like no one else can. You might be here today and you say, Tabu, I don't have vision. If I'm honest, do you have Jesus? If you say that I have Jesus, then I want to say to you, you have vision. But life might have deceived you. The devil might have lied to you. If you just fall in line with God's true vision, then vision is slowly going to come back to you. And you're going to see what God wants you to see. And you're going to do what God wants you to do. And the more you do that, the more you will find that God will add vision upon vision and plan upon plan into your life. Sometimes he will scare you with his vision and his plan for your life, but that's fine. If your vision doesn't scare you, then I believe it's not from God. Maybe you are here today and you say, I know my life is not right with God. I am not 100% sure if I die that I will spend eternity in heaven. Now, above everything that I said today, I want to tell you, that's why you came. Because I have to give you good news. The good news is, the Bible says, if you return to God through repentance of your sin and believe on what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago on a cross, then by that you will be saved. By that God will come and touch your life and forgive you of all your past and give you eternal life. In a blink of a moment, you will become a child of God. You might say, Thabo, I'm blind. I don't believe what you say. I came in here being very skeptical. But I want to tell you, I was like that one day as well. But one thing I knew is that I was a sinner. One thing I knew, I've tried everything to change my life. But nothing changed. Until I stopped and said, well, if they say that Jesus can forgive me and make me a brand new person and give me eternal life, then that's a chance I was willing to take. And then the day when I was serious about God, listen, the day I was serious, I turned to Jesus. You know, God, our friends, God knows when you are serious and when you are not serious. Some of you are sitting here, you think you're born again, you ain't born again. And God knows it. God knows when you are serious with Him. And when you are serious with Him, listen to me. When you are serious with Him and you turn to Him, He promises that He will save you, give you eternal life, and that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That if you walk with Him all the days of your life, you will one day walk into heaven. You will be an heir to the throne of Jesus Christ. What He has will be yours. All you need to do is to be truthful to yourself. And this morning, I want to tell you, He's here to give you this message because He wants to bring vision to your life. He wants to let you see what He sees. He wants to let you see what He has in plan for this city and this nation. But unless you have Jesus, you are going to stay blind and you will never see. I want to encourage you today. Come out of darkness into light. You might be there in Wimbledon. You might be in Edinburgh. I don't know where you are. But enough of this blindness walking. Enough. Enough. Enough of the devil stealing from you. Enough is enough. It's time that you need to open your ears and respond to Jesus' call. He's calling you right now. You might not know Him. He's calling you. You might be a member of this church or a Christian listening to me. Somewhere, somehow, you've missed the way. Somewhere, somehow, your vision has become blurred. You're not in line with the true vision of heaven. If it's you, I pray that today this message will speak to you. Well, you will just repent of that and get yourself back in line with His vision, building His church and providing for His work. And let us change the world together. Let us become history makers and world shakers. Let us keep on building line upon line, person upon person, till Jesus comes. What a great honor it will be when we walk one day and Jesus looked at us and say, CRC London, well done, you bunch of good and faithful servants. Well done for what you did. The only thing you can take to the other side is another person. What are you taking? What are you taking? If you don't take people, what are you taking? You're going to stand empty-handed on the other side. You might go to heaven, but you will be empty-handed. And forever you will be empty-handed. The devil tried to steal your life. Don't let him steal your crowns. Listen to what I'm saying. He tried to steal your life. Don't allow Him to steal your crowns. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for vision. Thank You for aligning us with Your word. And right now, I thank You for Your grace that is covering this place. I thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that 2,000 years ago, You sent Your beloved Son
to die for us on the cross. And you promise that if we believe, that you will forgive us. You promise that if we repent of our sins and turn back to Him, back to you, that you will receive us open arms and that you will put us on a new pedestal. You will give us a new life, a life filled with your love, grace, and mercy, a life filled with victory, where we live from victory to victory and from glory to glory. Thank you that we are not no more prisoners of our past, but we are embracing the future because the future is bright. We thank you that you are God Almighty, that you are the beginning and the end, that you know everything. You count every hair on our heads if we have hair. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you know us from the inside out. We thank you that your word is rightly divided us into three parts, helping us to understand how you work in our lives. And right now I know that you are speaking to people, people that know you but has lost vision. Thank you for restoring vision right now in their lives. And that there is a group of people also, Father, they do not know you, but you've touched their hearts. Today they realize that you love them, that you care about them, and that they have a hope in a future in you. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will touch them and speak to them like no man can, and help them to stand to their feet and receive you as their Lord and Savior. If it's you that I'm talking about, while all the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, and you say, Tabu, that is me. I know that my life is not right with God, but I want to give Jesus a shot. I can hear His voice today. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Then I ask you, friend, can I please pray with you? Can I please pray with you before we go? Because above everything, this is what we want you to leave here with, is Jesus in your life, a new vision for your life. If it's you that I'm talking about, and you are in this place, or even there in Wimbledon, or in Edinburgh, Brussels, Nevers, wherever you are, and you say, that's me. I need a new vision. I need God in my life. I can hear His voice and His hand tucking my heart. Then I want to ask you right now, can I pray with you? If it's you, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want to ask you, quickly slip up your hand so I can pray with you wherever you are. If you are here this morning, you might be on the balcony, you might be in the back, you might be here in the front, but you just know that you need to be included in this prayer. Then I want to ask you, slip up your hand high, let me pray with you. You might be there in Wimbledon, you might be there in Nevers, Edinburgh, Brussels, no matter where you are, let us pray together. Listen to me, every person in Wimbledon, Jesus is not your Lord and Savior yet. Make Him your Lord and Savior today. I'm crying out for you. He is supporting you. All whole heaven is excited for you to make this decision. But you need to choose. The Bible says God puts before us life and death. And He says you should choose life. Right now, you need to make up your mind and you need to choose.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.